Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
Smartcast. You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
This is the second part of our conversation with Jaya Sharma. Jaya is a queer feminist. She has been part of the women's movement for over three decades. And she's also part of the bondage, domination, sadomasochism, also called the BDSM community. We have been talking to Jaya about consent. And in the previous episode, she left us with some gems like...
We have the right to say no only when we have the right to say yes.
And...
However messy our desires are, and they are messy, consent need not be messy and must not be messy.
In this part, she'll tell us what exactly she means when she says that doing consent does not have to be messy. We'll also talk a little bit about her upcoming book, Fantasy Frames, Sex, Love and Indian Politics, and how understanding messy desire can help us understand the politics of extreme polarization.
I'm saying that the nature of desire and the way we do consent is linked. Right. I'm saying at present, globally, it's a bad situation because messy desires are translating into messy and often bad ways of doing consent. But that need not be, and that must not be so.
Right.
Messy desires will always be messy desires, but consent need not be a messy process.
You had earlier spoken about a maybe. So how does maybe then fit into the scheme of consent being not a messy process? Doesn't maybe make it messy, or is it the other way around?
Before we move on to how to negotiate consent, okay, if we can understand a bit more about the messy nature of desires, that I want to actually draw upon research that I've done for my book. And I conducted an anonymous online survey with about 30 people. And so I asked them to share with me their kind of dirtiest, hottest fantasy. And it was wonderful because the online space made people feel secure enough to very honestly share their fantasies.
Right.
And there were all sorts of fantasies that emerged, you know.
All the fantasies shared with you were all about sexual fantasies.
They were sexual fantasies, okay. And there were also fantasies about wanting one's boundaries to be pushed, to be made to do things that we don't like to do.
Or that we're not allowed, or we don't allow ourselves to do.
Yeah. So there was a whole range of fantasies being shared, but the common thread was the high level of discomfort about fantasies in which we want the other person to push our boundaries or where we want to push the other person's boundaries.
Right.
And the primary thing that emerged was, how can I have fantasies like this?
Right.
You know, and it was so troubling for people. And these were both feminists and non-feminists, activists, non-activists. So it wasn't a particular type. They were all urban.
Yeah.
But so I think we need to understand that our desires can often be very disturbing. And then what do we do with that? How then do we negotiate consent? So I just want to say that there has to be a deeper level of okayness with our fantasies. Because fantasies, by their very nature, right, will be involving some sort of taboo.
Right, right.
Because as Bruce Fink, who's a psychoanalyst, says it very succinctly, he says prohibition eroticizes.
Okay.
So it is precisely that which is taboo that we find hot, that we find erotic.
Right.
So the thing is that if I have a fantasy, it could be a fantasy about anything, and I don't need anybody's consent to have a fantasy.
Right.
I can fantasize about anything. No fantasy is wrong. We should not judge ourselves for our fantasies. But the thing is that if I want to enact that fantasy, then I need the other person's consent. Of course, another adult. We need the other person's consent. But I think before that, even before consenting, doing consent with the other, we need to consent to our own desires.
Right, right.
So consent is not just consenting to the other. Consent has to actually begin with consenting to our own desires. What is it that I'm feeling okay with?
Right.
What is it that I definitely don't want?
Right.
What is it that I want to explore?
Right.
That kind of consent, doing consent with our own desires, right, has to be the basis of then doing consent with the other.
Right. Is there a way in which we can sum this up? What consent really is then? What's it about?
So if I can draw upon your field of journalism, and I know that from other journalist friends as well that, you know, you have these five W's.
Right.
So I want to do four W's and an H.
Right.
In terms of why, what, who, when of consent, and then a how of consent.
Right.
So in terms of why consent, consent not just for prevention of violations, but for erotic fulfillment. What in terms of it's not just no, it's also yes, it's also maybe.
Right.
Who, not just the other, but also ourselves. When, all the time. It has to be a continuous process, which takes me to the how. And I want to draw upon my experience in the BDSM community and share the idea of the safe word. Okay. So if me and the other person have a pre-decided word, which could be something as simple as red, that if I say red, the other person has to stop instantly and unconditionally.
Right.
Which actually opens up the space for all kinds of exploration, which opens up the space for the maybe.
Right.
And also gives me the security that when I want something to stop, it'll stop immediately.
Right.
Without the other person checking in with me.
Constantly.
Constantly.
So basically all the way up till red.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Fantastic. Now, before we wrap this up, Jaya, now that you're here and we have you over here, I really want to know a little bit about your book and the premise of your book. As we had, as I'd mentioned this earlier on, you're working on a book called Fantasy Frames, Sex, Love and Indian Politics. And in it, what you're arguing is, that we need to understand the basis of desires, especially at times of extreme polarization of politics, as what we're witnessing right now. Please expand on that.
So I want to use consent as the takeoff point.
Okay.
I'm not doing that in the book, but since that's our conversation.
Yeah.
And I think the main theme is that of safety and adventure. Both in the erotic and in politics.
So safety
and adventure.
And adventure.
Look, I'm looking at them together.
Okay.
So for example, consent is something that can make us feel safe enough within ourselves and with the other person or people to undertake adventures.
Okay. You're talking about this as like emotionally, feeling emotionally safe. You're talking about psychologically safe.
Yes.
Okay.
And
of course, physically safe. I mean, so safety in multiple ways.
Yes.
Okay.
So, and in the rest of our lives, this combination of safety and adventure is very difficult to come by. And as Esther Perel, who's a Belgian therapist who's worked with couples around the world, she points to this reality that why is it that many people who are in monogamous relationships, maybe marriage, will find safety in their primary partner and will find adventure in affairs that they have outside of marriage? She's not judging here, but she's drawing our attention to the fact that safety and adventure is a combination that doesn't come to us easily, and we can't even handle it very easily. Right?
But that's just one example. I mean, safety and adventure can, and I'm sure has the interplay of safety adventure happens in multiple realms in our life, right?
Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm trying to show, that in politics too, and especially in authoritarian, leaders or in extremist ideologies, they offer us this combination of safety and adventure. So that authoritarian leader gives us a feeling of safety and security in our collective psyches that, you know, when they say that this is how it is, this is how it's always been, this is how it should be, this is how the other must be punished.
Right.
You know, all these very categorical kind of you know, that is a recipe for actually making us feel very secure. Oh, this leader, this ideology, they know exactly what they are talking about, and they will do what they are talking about. You know, so it creates a sense of security. And of course, authoritarian leaders and ideologies offer us so much adventure. And when I'm saying adventure, I want to say that there are all kinds of adventures that might not look like adventures.
Okay.
Including fear, including self-sacrifice, including hatred, including violence. All these are adventures that have an erotic charge. If I can just use the example of sexuality, and if I can put on top, if I was writing a chart, okay, if on top I can write erotic fulfillment, there are many routes to erotic fulfillment.
Right.
Pleasure is only one route.
Towards erotic fulfillment.
Yes.
And erotic, just to be clear, is not referring only to sexual. Here, erotic is referring to a charge, right? That one feels
like
about
when,
anything.
Yeah, when you can feel a certain kind of a high, you know.
And it's a psychoanalytical, particularly a psychoanalytical concept, right? The idea of the erotic. Is that right?
Yeah, but not only of psychoanalysis, but the eros is an important idea in psychoanalysis.
Okay.
So what I was trying to say is that if erotic fulfillment is a sort of a goal, there can be many routes to it. Pleasure is only one. For some people, it might be pain. For some people, it might be a humiliation. For somebody, it might be that the other person is controlling them.
Right.
That can be their route of erotic fulfillment.
Right.
And I'm not talking only about the BDSM community.
Right.
As I was saying in the book, the survey that I did was only a few members of the BDSM community. I'm saying our fantasies can teach us a lot.
Right.
Our fantasies can teach us that it's not really only the pleasurable seeming things that turn us on. Okay, so that's in the realm of the sexual. If we move to the realm of politics, we can see that it's not only the leader who gives us the jobs and who gives us the material things that we need, not just the pleasurable things that we need, that we follow, who we adore. It's also the leader who makes us feel fear, who makes us feel fear of the other.
Right.
Who makes us feel that, oh my God, we've lost our glorious past. We have to get it back again. The leader who gives us a kind of a reason to feel violent hatred towards the other. I'm saying all these are also erotically charged. But the one difference is that in the realm of the sexual, the consent can actually make us stop. So whether we're on top of the roller coaster or we're at the bottom of it in the dip, we can use the power of consent and get off that ride. But in politics, that if that adventure turns into a disaster, There's no easy way of getting off that ride.
Right. So that's actually given us a lot to think about. And I believe your book is expected towards the end of this year, right?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. I can't wait to read it. Thank you so much for coming and talking to us, Jaya. This has been a very fulfilling conversation. And on that note, thank you for listening in. If you would like to reach out to Jaya, then you should reach out to her on Twitter. She is @JayaNotes, N-O-T-E-S, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. You can also leave your feedback at HT Smartcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Bye.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast. HT
Smartcast. Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.